This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All right, and then we do this.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that's in an ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the dark, sweet Bourbon biscuit that is Royfield Brown, and with me I have the grumbly Viennese world that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Peggy's biscuit tin, folks, is you. Now this week's Dumpty Dum comes from those Maguire sisters. I think that was recorded in New York. And we've got Bernie later on the show.
Yeah.
But Lucy, before we speak to Bernie and all of that malarkey, how can somebody send us in a fresh Dumpty Dum? How can somebody send us in a fresh Dumpty Dum? Because I believe our tin of Dumpty Dums is near empty.
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction or have a birthing partner who'll slap you on the arse and shout, go on, mid-labour. Call us on 0203 0313 105. Or leave us a message on Speakpipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Mike Hatton for his character counts, and to Derek for the loan of the back bedroom. Derek is in a bad mood as he feels a bit jealous of the coverage the last Amazonian tribesman has got, as Derek's been dressed in nothing but a loincloth and waving his weapon around for years. And the BBC...
That's quite good. I miss that story about the last Amazonian tribesman.
They caught him on camera. He's been living by himself for 22 years because they killed the rest of his tribe and he's the only one left.
Jesus.
Yeah. It's incredibly
things
sad.
We do in the name of progress and civilization. There was that photo a few years back, I believe it was on the Peruvian border, when this little plane went.
Yeah. But that's the Yanomami, I think. And this is a I think he's Brazilian. He's in the Amazonian rainforest somewhere. And yeah, he's the last one.
So who killed them? Was it loggers?
Yeah.
Bloody mahogany and loggers and all of that. Oh. We've got a lot to answer for, Lucy.
We're not mahogany loggers. I can't even say it. Mahogany hoggers.
Well, you just did. No, I mean us in terms of, you know, being part of civilization and our rapacious need for resources. We're all complicit to a smaller, lesser degree.
Yes.
But you know what, Luce? The archers and Dumpty Dum is a little respite from all of that, isn't it?
Yes.
So we best hear. Well, and on this go, oh God. Right, I'm going to, fuck.
Right. So you should be able to cope with the heat. It's me. I'm on the one on a low simmer who can't string it.
It's not that. It's just ineptitude on my part. It's nothing to do with the heat. Right. Right. On this week's episode, we hear from Bernie, Andrew, Claire, Glyn and KJ. These are kind of all classic old-time callers, aren't they?
They are. We've got an old school Dumpty Dum now in it.
We have. But you know what, folks? Before all of that, it's our Juicy Loose and our week in Ambridge.
As always, the messenger is being shot. Poor Debbie, having cantered back from Hungary at top speed to help out her beleaguered family, is now being roundly abused on all sides for not sorting it out quickly enough or sorting it out in the wrong way. No good turn goes unpunished, Debbie. Adam and Brian are now best friends, mystifyingly. But Brian was doing that irritating thing of Adam being on the phone and Brian hopping up and down next to him saying, "What is it? What is it? What's happened? Tell me, what are they saying?" Which is the single most irritating thing anyone could do to you when you're on the phone. Alistair and Shula went to see Lance the Boyle, and it escalated rapidly from everyone doing their counselling voice and saying, "I appreciate your honesty and thank you for sharing that with me," to, "Of course I'm not giving you even more money, you massive ass." They were like two prefects in trouble vying for the approval of the headmaster. "She's been mean to me for ages. He lost all his money betting on who could wee higher up the wall." Alistair then marched off to see Anisha and said, "Right, there is a clause in the partnership contract called the Big Poo Clause. And as you are behaving like a big poo, I'm calling it in. So stick that in your syringe." Basically, Alistair transitioned into the Terminator. "You're not having my money and neither are you, so shove it." It was like that episode of The Worm Turned on the two Ronnies. Damara has a new slogan to endear itself to the public. The Developing Truss, it's called. Nice. Appeals to the older generation, as no one under the age of 70 and not in need of medical aid is able to buy a house in Ambridge. Fagash Lil, delighted that for once it is Jenny Darling who is making a daft decision and earning the disapproval of the family, is telling everyone about it and patronisingly insisting that they'll all weigh in with cash and prevent Brian and Jenny Darling from having to move into a tent by the fishing lake. Except Piggy said something to the effect of, "Get lost. The woman's 70 and they're loaded. I'm not bailing them out. I'm getting a padlock on my handbag, you freeloading bunch of scammers." Nothing weird about an old man shoving a ferret down his trousers and letting it wriggle about and demanding people watch, is there?
No.
Carry on. He's got a secret compartment in his trousers, apparently. Of course he has. Joe smeared butter inside his trousers to tempt the ferret up. Then Emma put mince up there to tempt it down. If anyone had any mash, they could have turned Joe's trousers into a massive cottage pie. Ruth has decided to throw in the towel as Rory's attorney. Well, now Rory's vocal cords are 16. Maybe they might be allowed to run out on their own. Who knows? Toby has staff. Toby is a manager. He has staff. Who I presume is some sort of rugby person, judging by what Toby was wittering on about making a pass at him with funny-shaped balls or something. It's still raining in Ambridge, according to Ed, but it's very hot and dry, according to Pip. The Ambridge weather app must be a nightmare. I tried looking at it on my BBC weather app, and it just came up with a picture of unicorns galloping about, so God knows. Freddie has invited Johnny on his gap year that isn't going to happen. I have heard on my crystal ball, and I foresee Johnny doing the whole trip, getting off with Nolitando, while Freddie languishes in Borchester Nick doing drugs are bad and okay courses. They had a dummy run with the pipette, Toby playing the role of the dummy. He's already attempted to mansplain labour to her. Wedding news, apparently they're going to play Tiger Feet and Come on Eileen at Fallon's reception. And loads more, said Fallon vaguely. Well, that's good. Two songs alternated, some patched up bunting, Fallon in an Oxfam wedding dress and a honeymoon spent testing harassment on his constable questions. Harassment, listen, what colour are the flashing lights on a police car? Red, no, orange. Oh, Fallon, love, don't start with the hard ones. And Jenny Darling, tearful and with a bit of a cold by the sound of it, unless she's developed a coke habit to cope with the last fortnight, for which I wouldn't blame her in the slightest, is leafing through the property page of the Borchester Echo. No, not this one. No, I need a downstairs cupboard with a lock. No soundproofing needed. One master bedroom and one box room for Brian, because there's no way that arsehole's coming anywhere near me for the foreseeable. And a kitchen with no oven, just a microwave, so I can do Underwood's lean cuisine meals for one. One. Me. No birthday parties for extended families, no venison pasties, no endless coffee pot on the go, no white wine fridge for alcoholics, and no bloody shoot lunches. And now I'm going to drink a pint of gin by myself, take my bra off, and watch my Poldark box set. I have finally come to my senses. The end.
Oh, I I like that right at the end. The vision of Jennifer without a bra. Oh, and a pulled up box set. Well done. What year?
Can I tell you my plot prediction? Because I'm really
No, because you're going to ruin my joke. Let me go first.
All right.
God. Precious little witticisms on this show. Anyways, allow me this one. Right. What year did Constable paint the hay wain?
I don't know.
That's my Constable question. There you go.
Oh, I see.
Yay.
That was what you stopped me interrupting you for, was it?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. Really? I know. Not good. Not good. But hey, there's somebody in our nice Middle English, Middle England audience that would appreciate that.
Yes.
Now, you were going to ride over me.
I got all very excited because I had a plot prediction this morning.
And 1821 is the answer, by the way, Lucy.
Okay. I want to say it now in case anyone else has said it on the caller in because we haven't heard them yet. I'm like Darren Brown, you see, when he has to show people before they reveal it, just in case anyone thinks he's just written it. I think Brian and Jenny are going to buy one of the Justin's houses.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll end up living near Ed and Emma.
No, surely not.
Yes, because he said the low-cost housing, and then there's the bigger ones, the executive ones. And they were looking at new builds anyway, so it's clearly something that they're not ruling out.
Goodness.
Yep.
Are you joining up the dots?
Yep. Can I just point out that every single one of my plot predictions so far have been completely wrong? So it's probably not going to happen. But anyway, I just thought, oh, yes.
There is a certain symmetry to that, isn't there? You're so good.
I'm not along here for the ride.
I'm not, seriously, because
every single one is wrong. Every single one I've played so far has been completely wrong. So I'm not good at all. And it's I probably just now ruled that out from happening by saying that it might. So, but anyway, there we are.
Or they could move into Rob's old executive flat, which is over by the bypass. Do you remember?
Yep. Well, it needs that Rex are moving out, so Blossom Hill will be free.
But that's got to be tiny.
Well, it fits.
Says me, who said they would move into an executive flat, which has got to be tiny also.
Well, Rob and Helen and Henry in, didn't it?
True that. Right then. So before we go into calls, Freeman. Last week, where do you start?
It was a bit of a quiet one, really, wasn't it?
Was it? We had a bloody ruckus between all the Aldridge siblings, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, but that's been coming for ages, isn't it? We sort of knew that was there've been ruckus for ages.
So why was it quiet then? No, but there was actually literally shouting.
Yeah, that's true. I just remember an inordinate amount of time spent on whether or not anyone should buy Peggy Viennese Whirls because no one actually really liked them. I thought, are we really doing this? Is this really what we're, you know?
Whenever Peggy has a little conflab, there's always a biscuit involved, isn't there?
Yeah.
An old 19th century biscuit gets dredged
up. It's either one of Auntie Cardboard's gingers or, you know, her flapjacks that she made, or there's profiteroles that Auntie Cardboard, when she went off to give all her money to Matt Crawford, she came back and said, "Who's eating my profiteroles?" There's always a sweet eat involved.
True, because, like, we can't even do the whole derivation of, like, the Bourbon biscuits and the Bourbons and the Nice biscuits, because we did all that about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Yeah. So, yeah. So
we're going to have to stop soon because we've talked about everything there is to talk about in the world.
We have. We've gone into everything. We've got some minutiae of detail that, yes. So what we do next then? What other radio soap can we comment on?
Do you know what? When William was three, he came back from nursery one day and I said, "What did you do?" And he said, "We did science. I really enjoyed it." And I said, "Oh, good." He said, "We did an experiment and this happened and that happened." And I said, "Are you doing it again tomorrow?" He said, "Oh, no, no, we know all of science now."
Oh, wow.
I thought, blimey, that was a shock to Stephen Hawking. Sorry. red group in nursery. They've done all of science. There's nothing left. They've done it all now.
Good heavens. That's one hell of a school and a teacher you've got down there. Right. So also, and you said it was a quiet week last week. We had Alison Schuler, which you did mention in your monologue. We had Alison Schuler just like, you know, knocking 10 bells out of each other, which I thought was lovely.
Yeah, that was lovely. And someone on the Twitters, and I apologise, again, I was zooming through this morning and I can't remember who it was, said, the only reason Alistair, I know Alistair is, you know, calling in every debt he's ever had. This isn't a freebie and I'm going to charge you for this and I never charged you labour and da 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 da. And it is always money that messes people up in divorces, isn't it? It's sort of... You know, that's kind of becomes the weapon that you can bash the other person with, even if you're actually both going to emerge reasonably healthy, you're financially healthy. It's still, that becomes a sort of a scapegoat for all the resentment. I've now lost myself. What the hell was I going to say?
Somebody on Twitter.
Right. Yeah, he said, he was going, oh, you know, I've given you all this. But the only reason he's in the stables is because of Auntie Cardboard, because of Schuler.
That's very true.
And didn't she mortgage something? She had, because she was better off than he was, because she had all the life insurance and everything from Mark. She sort of started him off. She was better off than he was.
Now, that's a level of detail which I cannot remember. But yes, the stables were definitely Auntie Christine's first off.
Yeah. So, you know, she could charge him back rent, which would bankrupt him. You know, I think you have to really be very careful before you start pulling on a thread like that, because things can so easily unravel very, very, very rapidly. And then all of a sudden, the actual process itself is costing you a fortune, because you've now got to have not just mediators, you've got to have lawyers and, you know, lots of sort of back and forth. And, he should never have, I understand. I mean, he's taken it out on Schuler, but actually it's Anisha that's caused an actual problem by just thinking she can just walk away from a partnership.
And we whittled on last week, didn't we, about, well, why is this basically Alistair's fault?
Yeah.
That he has to go and find somebody to replace her. And he kind of said something rather similar this week, didn't he, about looking back at that exclusion clause and throwing the ball back into her
bad behaviour clause. Bad behaviour or something.
Where have you gone?
I'm here. Hello.
You just looked away.
Sorry.
You were not talking into your microphone.
Okay. God, you sounded... me? Can you see me?
I've got ears. You went
how
all
did you
distant.
How know I looked away by me not saying anything?
Because you were still talking and your voice sounded distant.
Oh. I moved over to my...
I've got ears,
case.
Lucy. Sorry.
I moved over to my pencil case to find a pen to write down notes about the calls.
Right.
I'm a writer and I live in a house with children. There are no working pens in this house.
What, your children still find time to fiddle around with pens?
Yes. My pens, not theirs, obviously. That one's
I find
broken.
That rather fascinating, because I tell you, I saw the handwriting of a 10-year-old the other day. You had to write a letter pretending to be a child evacuee in 1939. And they did a bloody good job, actually. They stained the whole paper with,
with
tea.
All that.
Yep, yep.
Oh, I love doing that. Treasure maps.
It looked really good. And I actually picked it up because I saw the top of it and it was dated 1939 and it was Land's End, blah, blah, blah. And I went, how long has this been in your family? And he went, you nana. It's my son's own work. And I went, oh. And I said, well, I did think, you know, it looked like ballpoint pen. Right. But good grief. Kids can't write anymore, can they?
No.
That handwriting's shocking.
But have you had to write anything recently?
I know. As soon as you've done one line, your hand gives up and it looks like a spider's written. I know. It's hard. Yes. But there is no way Mr. Higgs would have allowed me to hand in my homework with that standard of handwriting that I saw. I'm going to call him Little Johnny. Oh, Adam, that was his name. Little Adam did for his homework. It was really bad. I had to say to his dad, I went, handwriting's a bit ropey, isn't it? He went, tell me about it. But like, kids don't need to write anymore.
No.
But neither do we. Us grown-ups. No. So I'm surprised that your kids are fiddling around with pens, Luce.
Well, they have to write. William's got dysgraphia, so he's allowed to use a laptop. But Tilly has to write loads. And her handwriting is incredibly neat, actually, to give her.
I'm confused because Maisha stopped writing definitely early senior school, and it was all things were typed out.
Right.
And Tilly's doing GCSEs now, isn't she?
Yeah. No, they have to handwrite.
Good God. Was she going to Hogwarts or something?
Yes.
The local secondary moderns in Queen's Park. It's all cheap laptops. It's all Chromebooks
scratches
and whatever.
Away on her board with her chalk while the teacher hits her over the head. Yes.
Right. Gosh. Well, talking about scratching away, that's definitely Jennifer and Brian now, isn't it, trying to find their pennies. I actually quite liked the Lillian and Peggy kind of like, we'll come to the rescue. Well, Lillian said she'll come to the rescue. So you'll help too as well, won't you, Mum? Peggy's a bit like, okay.
Really? No.
And then kind of Jennifer just like, you know, turning around and saying, no, basically this is our shit. We will deal with it. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. You know, because I think I'd have asked for the handout myself.
Right.
Pride and all of that, and that was a nice little touch, and I like the intergenerational thing with also with Debbie being there, but the position of Alice, though, you know, Alice is just steaming mad, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Daddy's girl and all of that.
Yeah.
Nice to hear from Johnny last week.
Yes, I thought we hadn't heard from him for a while. But I can't believe that he is Freddie's best friend and doesn't know Freddie's dealing.
You know what, Luce? I was going to say exactly that. What a pile of nonsense. What a pile of nonsense. Because I know Johnny's a little bit clueless, but he's not totally clueless.
And also, when you're teenagers, like Tilly could tell you what her best friend has got in her wallet down to about the last 20p, because they pull their money all the time because they never have enough money. So they say, right, should we go Nando's? I've got £6.12 and you've got £4, so we can get this, this, this and this. You know, they know exactly. If Freddie's suddenly waltzing around offering to pay for him to come to flipping shark swimming place and, you know, do this, that and the other, the first thing that Johnny's going to say is, where'd you get the money from? You know what I mean? He's going to say, how come you've got all this money? Where's it from?
You know, whilst I agree with you, right, look at it from Johnny's point of view. He could probably, Freddie's minted, isn't he? So he probably thinks Mum's going to stump him all the cash.
Mm.
And also, I think boys just don't quite have that same social antenna that girls do at that age. No, because I was furiously trying to remember back to my teenage years and my friends Darren and Dennis, and we were all broke, but I didn't know how broke they were.
Right.
You know, we weren't trying to have a cheeky Nando, so to speak. But we were going to the powerhouse and stuff and kind of half clubbing together our money and getting one pint between three of us. all that behaviour did go on.
Right.
But, you know, I couldn't have told you exactly how much money was in Darren's wallet. Though I take your overall point that, you know, Freddie should be more aware of the fact that Johnny's maybe splashing the cash, you know, type of thing. But...
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's in a stately home, isn't he? So
you
know.
Should we do the calls before my flipping internet goes down for the 150th?
Yes, all right. Let's rush through this, shall we?
Okay.
And the next thing we do is this.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Let's start with Andrew Horn.
Greetings, Earthlings. Andrew Horn here with some matters arising from last week's podcast rather than anything new. I would have submitted a Dumpty Dum, but I can't lay my hands on my recorder at the moment. No, that's a euphemism. But Royfield boys do play the recorder. King Lear. Now, that's a very good analogy, and I voted for the panto this year. We can see Brian gradually descending into madness, which is, of course, where the play goes. So I look forward to that being on Lindy's list. Now, sticking with the sort of themes that related to literature, I think with David and Josh, I think it's more sort of Oedipus.
Yeah.
The father-son struggle to be the alpha male is always there, and Josh is more of a threat for David than Pip. Pip, who he wants to protect and nurture and look after, as she is one of his pride, whereas Josh is always a threat. So, yes, I can understand that. And I think David handled it very well with the whole rent piece. Mm-hmm. But also with Josh, the one thing we've not heard anything of recently is he's decided to take a gap year. So he should be going to university in September. Have we heard anything about this? No. Been conveniently forgotten. And I'm just wondering when, if ever, someone will raise the subject again. Anyway, I hope to speak to you all soon and watch this space. I will be arranging a London Dumpty Dum in the near future. Take care all. Bye.
Bye-bye, Andrew.
Bye.
But didn't Josh basically just say he was doing a gap year because he didn't want to go back full stop and his way of getting his folks off his back?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But
yeah, but would they just have let him go completely without saying, well, okay, we're going to come back to this later and... Mm. You know, see where you are and
I
whatever.
Think they can clearly see that the lay of the land vis-a-vis Josh and his career path, can't they? And the fact that he's not going to go back. But there should be at least a cursory conversation to say, hey, Mush, aren't you going back to uni? And he's going, well, come on.
What are you still doing here? Also, I understand, I know what Andrew means about the Oedipus thing, but what's weird also is that Ruth seems to be as ambivalent about Josh as David is. Nobody seems to be, I think Hootie Jill is quite kind of, seems to be vaguely interested in him and he's quite nice to him when she runs into him. But everyone else just seems to not have any time for him at all. And Ruth seems profoundly uninterested and views him as a bit of a, you know, it's weird, isn't it? This attitude towards ambition. And I'm not saying he isn't a pillock because he is a pillock.
No, it's not. An attitude towards ambition, because if it was an ambition to be the world's best farmer, they'd be right behind him. It's because of the way he's going about it, and it's commercial, isn't it? So it's a certain type of ambition.
Yeah, but there is a type of, and I think this is a, I'm going to get myself into trouble if I say what I'm going to say, but.
Oh, go on then.
There seems to be a very British
attitude.
You're
amongst friends. We'll still love you at the
there
end.
There seems to be a very British attitude, which is kind of a, he thinks a bit too much of himself. He's a bit cocky. He's a bit, or she's a bit too clever by half and all this stuff. You think if someone's doing really well, just bloody congratulate them. Don't try and, you know, gleefully look forward to when it all goes tits up. It's just horrible. I don't like that attitude at all. The British seem so much more comfortable with a nice failure than, you know, a harmless failure. And they view success as if somehow someone's got to be crooked, nasty or bent to have got that far sort of thing. And I think it's quite depressing.
Mm. I think there's large dollops of truth in what you're saying, but it's not just quite as simple as that. Yes.
No, he is being an arsehole he's a 17-year-old boy, isn't he? And they're really, really annoying.
And he has been throwing his weight around and just supposing a whole load of things, not looking completely at his bottom line in terms of his costs, not thinking of housing the equipment, thinking I'm going to get that free from my folks. They're not helping out really around the farm, then doing it begrudgingly. So he hasn't helped his cause. However, I take your wider point, though. I take your wider point that there is something about our culture and, let's say, commercial success of which we still go, ooh, but that's just a little bit tacky, isn't it? You know, that kind of...
Yeah, exactly. It's so much better if it was bankrupt.
Well, I think it goes all the way back to our class structure and the fact that... having inherited wealth was fine, but making money was just a bit grubby. you know.
Yeah, you've moved out of your allotted bit.
Exactly. You know, we kind of don't quite like commercial success in this country, and we think you've done somebody over to you know.
Yeah, yeah,
to make
exactly.
Money.
God. Ooh, right. Next caller.
Oh, it's Bernie.
Hello. This is Bernie Mag calling from Madrid. Co-secretary of Dumpty Siblings, along with Sheila_Maguire. Yes. First of all, thank you for approving our situation to create Dumpty Siblings. We're sorry to say we haven't exactly been inundated with applications to join the sector, but it's early days yet, so we're not losing hope. This week has been a wonderful week in Ambridge from the dramatic point of view. Wonderful scripts and fantastic acting. Both Jennifer and Brian, I think, have acquired depth as characters during this week. Their performance of older parents is really realistic, and the vulnerability that they're obviously feeling is brilliantly portrayed, both from the point of view of the script and of the acting. Brian trying to help everybody out with little jobs, and Jennifer being stalwart about her decision and all that, is actually quite moving. A feeling that Brian and Jennifer don't often produce in me, I have to say. Plot prediction, I think something will save Home Farm in the end, but I don't know what it is. This, I feel, would rather spoil everything, but I could be wrong about that. Alistair and Shula were very good too this week. A great performance as mediation turns into out-and-out war. And the ferret in Joe's trousers was hilarious. But a low point continues to be the performing animals. That's really dreary. Anyway, thanks a lot, Lucy and Royfield, for everything you do. Bye for now and keep up the good work.
I agree with every word Bernie has said there, Lucy. Utterly yeah. Every word. And in our kind of like chat about the last week in Ambridge, I was actually going to say that I thought Jennifer's performance was just like, was, you know, she hit the ball out the park.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
She went from that stoical, from that sort of stiff upper lip, no, we've made our bed, we were lying it, we don't need help, to then when Debbie was going looking at the houses, she suddenly had a wobble, didn't she? And
yeah.
Went all,
the Albion. And but I can kind of do without ferrets up trousers. I really can.
Yeah. Just... There's a certain... You can see that Twitter goes completely divided when you get a scene like that. It's like some people absolutely love the pantomime and, you know, really look forward to it. And for other people, it's just absolute anathema. And I think there's a sort of a slapstick... There's the Alan Bennett type audience, which I think you and I are, which is we love the class
yes.
things and the nuances and the little hints. And then there's the sort of the more kind of English farce type people who, you know, really like that kind of ridiculous slapstick nonsense stuff. So, yeah, it's interesting how Twitter is immediately divided into those people going, oh, for God's sake. And then other people going, oh, this is brilliant. I love this. You know, it's just really odd. And it's never the people you expect that like one or the other.
I heard Alan Bennett on, was it Front Row or something the other day, which I bumped into unexpectedly. Goodness, isn't he sounding old? I know,
well, he is old.
But like it was just the shock. Just I haven't heard him speak other than, you know, to give one of his one of his little short stories and whatever. And I was absolutely shocked as how infirm he sounded. But anyway, moving swiftly.
Well, he is very ill. He has cancer.
Ah, see, I didn't know that.
I don't know. I think it's in remission now.
Well, that's good. Hate cancer. Fuck off, cancer. Anyway, shall we have another call?
Yes.
Hi, Lucy, Royfield, and the rest of the team. KJ here, also known as Eggstones on Twitter. I'm calling in with two items. First, a question, and that is, why can't the Aldridges just mortgage the bloody farm to the hilt? If a loan is an option for Alistair, why can't it be for the Aldridges? And then secondly, my wish is, could Peppa Pig please be mauled by Monty? It would be quite fun if it would happen. Okay, not for the Grundys or Peppa Pig, but for us as listeners. That's all. Over and out. Bye.
That's the first time I've ever heard anyone saying, I really wish a pig could be mauled by a dog on radio. Yes, no, it wouldn't be a lot of fun for poor old Peppa Pig, would it? But as she's a pretend one, I'm sure it's fine. That's a good point. Why can't they just remortgage? But possibly because they wouldn't get a mortgage because the state of the business is in such a state.
But is the...
It's just the property value alone would be enough.
Yeah, well, exactly. Now, let's think about this logically. All right, the house isn't part of the business, is it?
I thought it was, actually. Oh, where did I get that from? I'm sure somebody said it's because the cottages are a business, the fishing lake is a business.
So why the cherry is the trees, house which, a business which, then?
Oh, I see. The actual brick. Yes. No, I don't know. No, it isn't. No, they could remortgage that. Yeah. I don't know why they don't. I don't know. Yes. Good point.
Have we discovered a plot hole?
Well, we generally find about seven in one episode.
<isn't> it? Anyway, it's nice to hear your voice, KJ.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to Glyn Fuller Love.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. Glyn here.
Hello.
Greetings to all in Dumpty Dum land phoning in on Thursday night. First of all, those of you who thought Brexit was complicated, well, just try Alistair's divorce and simultaneous partnership negotiations. I think you'll decide pretty quickly which one is more complicated. But turning to the other big stories in Ambridge, first of all, at Home Farm, I think it was last night, Adam and Brian were talking and Adam was saying, I think we may be able to see the light of day at last. And Brian said, well, you know, every time we think that, something worse happens. You're spot on, Brian. You're going to be prosecuted. You know, by the weekend, you're going to be in Clink in Borchester. And and no doubt, as someone's pointed out on Twitter, quite soon you'll be sharing your open prison with Matt Crawford, having been extradited back from Costa Rica or wherever he is. The other big story is clearly Freddie and the drugs which he's peddling down at Home Farm, as if they haven't got enough to cope with. And tonight, of course, we learnt that Johnny is going to be given money by Tony and Pat so he can join Freddie on his travels, which can mean, I think, one or two things. Either, you know, Johnny is going to be let down when Freddie also ends up in Clink, or they go off together and they both get arrested for drug dealing and you know, they're both sort of in some kind of latter day Midnight Express experience. Well, with that happy thought, I will wish everybody in Dumpty Dum land a very good week and a very good week of Archer's listening, and thank you for the podcast.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Glyn.
Oh,
so basically the Ecuadorian embassy is finally going to get shot at Julian Assange and Brian Aldridge is going to move in instead.
I don't want Johnny to end up in Clink because Freddie's an arse. That would make me rather upset, actually.
There's a really good tweet about that, one of the tweets of the week, which I will read out later.
Ooh, good. All right. Shall we rattle through these calls? Because we don't know if this internet's going to hold up, do we?
Yeah, all right, then. We've got Claire now.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. Thanks for playing my Dumpty Dum last week. I think you can tell I had barely played a recorder in well over 30 years. And I was a bit rusty, but yeah, I just picked up on a whim and thought, well,
a bit Claire.
And now you've heard, why not, frankly, but it was all good fun. I was been doing a bit of guess who's going to live in whose house this week on account of Home Farm coming onto the market and the continuing implosion of Alistair and Shula's divorce, which I felt was horribly realistic, probably.
Yes.
And I wondered whether you could separate the house from the stables and the vets, and then Brian and Jenny could go and live in that house, and then Shula and Alistair could both go off and buy somewhere a little bit more, you know, sensible for themselves, possibly on the new Justin Elliott development, although I hope they don't end up as neighbours there, which would be a bit embarrassing. Be more of like a sitcom than a soap, probably. So in terms of who's going to buy Home Farm, it's looking increasingly like that will be Robin Fairbrother coming back into the show, because I've seen the rumours on that. That could be fun, especially if Pip ends up with one or other of the Fairbrother children. She could be Queen of the Manor. That will be a long-term thing in the future. In the meantime, another plot prediction is that Morris, the very, very rarely heard of meat sausage maker or something, I remember was Alistair's sponsor in GA, and I think he's doing the fortune telling at the show, so cue some kind of fortune telling experience in which Morris gets Alistair back on the road to sanity and off of the gambling. Anyway, keep up the good work. Speak soon. Bye.
Ooh. Bye-bye, Claire.
Claire, I'd completely forgotten that Morris had done that.
You and me both, love. I'd absolutely... Because that we are going back a few years now with that whole kind of gambling story. And
yeah.
Yes. So good grief. Yeah. What a memory.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, good. Yes, I hope so, because I didn't like it when he was asking who was tipped to win the whatever it was race at Borchester and things like that. I don't like the idea of him sliding back into that. Horrid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. Right then. So we don't like ferrets up trousers. We're just going back to that, right?
Mm.
Ferrets have got claws, very obviously.
They've got claws and sharp teeth and they stink.
Yeah, right. Now, has Joe got the thickest long johns on in history? Why wasn't he going ouch, ouch, as the thing was going up and down his leg?
I don't know. I don't. The whole thing's ridiculous.
It's the reason why I don't quite like it. Anyway, so we've done the calls. We haven't really talked about Pip and Toby, have we? Pip, Toby and the Braxton Hicks and all of that.
Well, because it was really boring and it's all going to happen. Let's wait until something actually happens.
All right, then. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we'll wait for. Touch of Millie Bell, which will come the other side of an advertisement break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Germany is totally controlled by Russia.
It's coming up! It's coming up! It's coming!
Donald Trump's due in the UK today for the first time as US president. Meantime, the US Embassy in Britain is currently worried about the safety of Americans during the visit. In fact, it's issued an alert warning people to be cautious as large anti-Trump protests are expected to be held in London.
July has been an extraordinary month in Britain and America. You've had the fervour of England's progress in the World Cup, the President of America siding with Vladimir Putin over the FBI. Brexit has taken yet another left turn with the resignations of Johnson and Davis. And whilst Donald Trump had tea with the Queen, 100,000 Brits protested his very presence and flew a blimp over Parliament to mock him. As a special relationship gets less special, the Mid-Atlantic podcast sees the other side. I've been producing this podcast since 2013, with Mid-Atlantics trying to analyse the news from one side of the Atlantic from the perspective of the other, and it's never been more needed than now. My regular co-hosts include Salon senior political reporter Amanda Marcotte, journalist and writer Mick Wright from GQ, New Statesman and the Daily Telegraph, Oxford academic and best-selling author Chris Kotchuna, and emergency communications expert Doug Levy, and Alice Thwaite, the founder and editor-in-chief of The Echo Chamber. In recent episodes, we have covered the threat or the promise of a second referendum on Brexit, the crumbling special relationship between the US and the UK, and how sporting success and failure play into national identity. And we've even looked at the gulf between Russia's politicians and her people. If you want to share my passion for Britain and my wonder of American politics and culture, why don't you go and download the Mid-Atlantic podcast today?
Good day, everyone. Well, I can't bring you any kind of roundup on what's happening on the forum because I've just checked and apparently our account has been suspended. I really feel for Royfield. He's trying to run a fan-based podcast and instead he keeps getting these headaches. Anyway, I can't give you any kind of roundup because I can't get to it. However, lots happening on Facebook, so that's the good news. We've discussed many things this week, but the ones I'm going to concentrate on include the fact that both Alice and Lillian thought that it was okay to discuss something Jenny had clearly said, please do not spread this information. And I struggle with this every time it happens on The Archers, and I know it happens to push the story along, but I don't think it's cool. And I think in real life, family members would just say, look, you don't have a free pass to share family news with anyone you feel like, whether it's family or otherwise. And I just felt that we're out of order. But I said, look, I'm ranting. What do you think? Betsy Jones said, same for people getting offended that they weren't told about someone else's private business. Of course, I agree with you, Betsy, so thank you very much for that. Gordon Bavard said we were at least all spared Alice's meltdown about it in The Bull. However, this is true, but I learned a lot more about English biscuits than is ever going to be useful to me, Gordon. Derek Warman said they have every right to tell off if they think their mum and dad are doing wrong and it's evil Kate who needs to shut up. Not sure that I agree with you at all, but Derek, but it's good to have your opinion, absolutely. Lauren Downey, we really need a break from all of the current storylines. I'm sick of most of the Aldridges, Alice and Kate in particular. Debbie is the only one talking an ounce of sense. The Alistair, Shula and Anisha saga is getting old fast and they're all driving me up the wall, especially Anisha. Why is it that most young people in Ambridge are either totally obnoxious or just irritating? And this is coming from a 20-year-old. Here's hoping that people don't think we're all that way. Lauren, I'd like to assure you that I absolutely do not believe that at all. I do work with young people from the age of about 16 up, and I think they're actually fantastic, which is why I work with them. And generally, they're not that selfish. But of course, this is Ambridge, where things are a little different. So we're just going to go with that. We also talked about the comedy of the disappearing ferret juxtaposed against the seriousness of missing staff and a resignation at Home Farm. But we did wonder whether Freddie was responsible for the staff absences. Looks like I am way behind in working that out because absolutely everybody was going, yes. So Glim Full of Love, for example, said, definitely dodgy drugs from Freddie. As for fun with ferrets, I will give that a miss. Being pedantic, it's a Home Farm resignation, I think, unless Susan had quit the dairy on the back of Neil's massive wages, which she seems to have found many ways of dispersing. And John Kelston Merritt said the thought of the ferret having not eaten being up Joe's trousers was too much for me. Look, I don't know why, but it just really, the whole thing just really amused me. And then when they had to do the zip, I just nearly lost it. And you have to remember that I'm usually on my way to work when I'm listening to it. So at moments like that, I have to pull over. It's all very silly, but I just thought it was brilliantly done. We also have a very long thread on the possible names for Pip's Baby. So if you'd like to go and have a look at that. And there were some really inventive suggestions on there. You are very funny, a very inventive lot, aren't you? And then we just had a quick chat about the possibility of another problem gambling storyline. Bid Harrison said, I had to listen twice as Jazz's Glaswegian accent gets stronger by the day. I'm amazed Alistair actually picked up on what he was saying regarding the racing tip. By the way, I love his accent. I used to live in Glasgow, but nobody ever says, what's he say? I don't know. I don't find his accent very difficult. And he is, of course, Scottish. So I guess he knows what he's doing. But, you know, different ears hear things differently. Christina Anna said, yep, without a doubt, although there is definitely potential for someone else to spot the signs and maybe help Alistair in time. And Carrie Jane, I'm going to let her finish because she said, as long as it doesn't lead to Alistair getting back with Shula, I'd like him to be able to sort himself out, without the help of the saintly one. There's still more on that thread, and we'd love you to join in. Really, we would. Yoga Bear will be back with you next week, and then I have one more week, and then I have to go to the Northern Territory for 2 weeks with 60 16-year-olds. So I know you'll wish me lots and lots of luck with that, because we have to take all their raging hormones with us and keep them under control. So Yoga Bear, me, and then Yoga Bear standing in for a few weeks. So thank you, Yoga Bear. You know I love you. And until I speak to you in a fortnight, hooroo!
Thank you for that, Millie Bell. Luce, why don't you hit us with some tweets?
Glyn Fullerlove, who is appearing twice on this week's Dumpty Dum. Whilst the Albion kitchen might be an attraction, would you really want to sleep in a room where Brian has done God knows what? And Rory will probably be left behind in the cupboard. Mrs. Trellis, for sale. Delightful country kitchen. Comes with attached six-bedroom house. Massive contamination of land and groundwater forces sale. Would suit mature couple with massive family. A high resistance to organophosphates would be an advantage, but not essential. Peggy Woolley. Yes, allegedly. Adam could read from The Joy of Sex and make it sound like he's delivering a death sentence. John Reed. Debbie. It is going to happen. The best thing we can do is stop squabbling and pull together behind the house sale, even if you didn't vote for it and think it's a catastrophic idea that will destroy the Archers. It's the will of the people. Hashtag Brexit. And Julia of all trades. This is for you, Royfield. I like Johnny. Please don't make him put Thai drugs up his bottom.
I couldn't agree more. Lucy, we have some good news on the Dum-de-dum front. It's not often we have good news when it comes to dumdedum.com, but we actually have.
Have we got rid of the Viagra peddlers?
Yes, yes.
Yay!
We were riddled with malware, and we were helped out by Bluehost in wherever the hell they're hosted. And
thank you, Bluehost.
By a gentleman called Sage Design in Nigeria. So thank you to all those people that regularly donate, because it meant that I could afford to give Sage Design some cashola to get rid of all the malware. But we were absolutely were riddled. And if you now search for Dum-de-dum on Google, it doesn't ping you off to a Viagra site. And our site description isn't erections and blue pills and all of that kind of stuff anymore.
Well, no more than normal.
No more than normal, exactly. So so if you are a regular contributor to Dum-de-dum via Patreon.
You can buy Viagra in Boots now. Why would you need to buy it over the internet?
Well, maybe you can't get it over the counter in every country. And how do you know it's in Boots?
Because the woman that served me last time was standing in front of a big sign that said Viagra.
Okay.
Because I'd never seen it before and I was interested. And I thought, do men go up and go, hello, I'd like a tube of athlete's foot cream and some of your freshest Viagra, please? Or do they go, can I have the Viagra, right, the blue, you know?
Well, I wonder, Lucy, how it's ordered. But I've never had need to order such a thing.
Good.
Awesome.
Don't want to know. Moving on.
So, yes. So, pat yourself on the back if you are a Patreon supporter or PayPal supporter.
Because
yes, we got it all sorted yesterday. I had to get up super early, but it was all done. It's all done and cleared up. So there's no effing excuse not to get your ass back on that website and on the forum and getting it going again, folks. No excuse. Right. So, Lucy, would you like to read the next bit out?
Yeah. Remember to get in contact with us. You can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website.
I thought there was another bit, but anyway.
No. Or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message.
You might just continue.
You can find Royfield and Lucy at Dumpty Dum. And I am at Lucy V. Freeman. And my delightful colleague can be found
at Royfield. Super simple.
Yeah.
And why don't you read out the bit that you never read out? And never even type.
It's not here.
Yeah. Because you never even type it.
Because you've already said thank you to everybody that sponsors us on Patreon.
Facebook. The thing that you hate in the whole
world. You can go onto Facebook, apparently, and have all your data stolen.
But you know that's not how Facebook really works, though, don't you?
No, I don't care how Facebook really works. But I'm sure if you're on it, you're probably following us, so thank you. Or something.
Oh, you are so weird, and that's one of the reasons why I love you. All right, it is, because I never quite know what your reaction to anything's going to be. But this obsession you have about not liking Facebook is something to behold. But anyway, it's anonymized data, so even if they steal your data, it's not you per se they're ever going to steal. But moving swiftly on, that's the end of the show, folks. And I hope you've enjoyed it, because it's been torturous for us, because like the interwebs really has gone down like 3 times.
Yeah.
But it's held up in the end. Hurrah for the interweb. So just before you take your kids to footy, anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we go and disappear for another 7 days before we're here again, Lucy?
No, it is very hot, everybody. So be careful. And in England, that is. And when we're all moaning about how miserable and cold and wet and damp it is in November, which is actually sounding frankly lovely at the moment, then we must remember this and think, stop moaning. Mm. So you can, if next time I moan about how cold it is, you can all ring me up and shout.
My tan is something to behold, I tell you, Lucy. It's utterly bonkers. And my daughter, when I went to Canada, just laughed her head off. Well, when she saw it, she said, "Dad, you are just like full of stripes. It's just ridiculous. Like the top of my shoulder is literally pinky white, and like my forearm is as black as the Ace of Spades. It's just ridiculous."
Do you look like a licorice all
I
sort?
Do. I absolutely saying, do. I absolutely do. He's like pinky coffee coloured at the top, and then just jet black on the bottom. But ooh, what a glorious, glorious, glorious few weeks we've been having. But anyway, on that note, folks, I'm going to toddle off and edit this. And so by the time you've heard this, I've already edited it. Goodbye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.